Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning into the Christian Life Podcast. And I'm your host, Carlton Holbrook. I have designed this podcast for every believer in Christ. This podcast is designed to help every believer in their daily walk with Christ and also to separate the truth from God from misinterpretation, from tradition, from false teaching, and lack of understanding. So please listen to our guest speaker.
Hello. Yeah, once again, my name is Michael Williams, and I'm excited about this opportunity to talk a little bit about Christmas. I don't consider to be an expert, but lately I've been studying about the origin of Christmas because I just wanted to learn some of the truths versus the lies about why we celebrate and the things we do traditionally and as well as biblically. And I'm excited about this opportunity to share with my brother Carlton Holbrook. I think we're going to have a good time, and I pray that you are blessed.
Okay, before we get started, we're going to open up in prayer. Elder, would you mind?
Yeah. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for just being God. We thank you for the season that we are celebrating your birth. And even in this season, we're going to celebrate not just your birth, but your burial and resurrection. Because if it wasn't for you, Lord, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for you coming, dying, and rising again, Lord God, we wouldn't have the opportunity to even live. You said that in your word that you come that we might have life and that more abundantly. Now, please bless us, Lord God, as we dissect the scriptures, Lord God, and get into the word of God, that it would be clear and that even a child could not even error. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, many times when we study history and when we observe traditions, we get caught up in the tradition and how it's carried out. Just like Christmas, we get caught up in what we do on Christmas. We buy gifts, we gather with our family, we go shopping a lot. We even save and build our bank accounts, have a Christmas fund for shopping and things of that nature. And we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, but the celebration is giving homage to everyone but him.
Amen.
The one who should be celebrating. We'll talk about him a little bit, but is it really still about him?
That's right. That's right.
And we do God, we do the purpose for Jesus even coming, and injustice. We do our children, we do the society, and injustice. Because it's a scripture that said we are serving the creature more than the creator.
That's right. Amen.
And he is truly what we always say, the reason for the season. And when you think about Christmas, which is the origin of it, comes from the word Christ.
That's right.
Masked.
That's right.
Which was pretty much started by a Roman emperor called King Constantine, who was converted to Christendom in the early 300s.
That is correct, yes.
After the death of Christ. I called my uncle, who is a theologian, to get some clarity about King Constantine, because I know a lot of people wonder, was this man genuine when he was converted, or did he convert to Christendom to win the Christian Jews that was converted in Rome? at the time. Because some people said that he pretty much got, and in some studies says that he got his position in the church because of his money and his prestige and because of his name. Does that sound familiar? That happens in some churches now.
Okay, yes,
some people are called to pastor because of their influence in the community. Correct. Or their influence with the pockets, just like we have people in office. And I'm not going to say any names because I don't want to offend.
Don't do that.
Because of their influence, but not their character.
I understand. Sometimes because they're given, or maybe they're given time, mm-hmm. or... sometimes just because of friendship.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, King Constantine at the time was converted. And the more I study about it, it was like I couldn't base my opinion on fact, number one, because I was not there. But I think about this when I judge any situation. What is it helping or what is it hurting? King Constantine's purpose for starting Christmas or celebrating Christmas is that he was in Rome at the time where they was having this celebration called Winter Solstice.
Yes.
And at that time they was worshiping the sun god.
Yes, that's correct.
And they were having orgies and wild parties and things. Yes. To celebrate. Wow. In that time. And he saw how it was hurting the society, hurting families. And he wanted to do something good. So he did use his power for good. He said to replace the partying for flesh. He said, let's do it to... honor Jesus. Even though Jesus definitely couldn't have been born in the winter, because first of all, the shepherds wouldn't be out in the winter because it gets cold over there.
Yes,
too.
Yes,
looking for a manger. They be freezing.
Let me stop you for one sec. Now, a lot of people want to know, why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th.
Oh, yeah, good, yeah. We celebrate Christmas on the 25th because that is a date that was actually chosen to celebrate his birth, and rather than the day that he was actually born. And King Constantine at the time thought that that would be a good purpose to change the minds of the people of that culture in that, say, to do something negative, to do something positive rather than something negative.
So, Eric, for our listeners, now, you know, we choose December 25th as the birth of Christ, you know, to celebrate.
Yes.
But most scholars and most people believe that Jesus was not born in the winter, and most likely he wasn't.
He wasn't.
Correct?
Hey, that's right. That's pretty much the facts.
Yeah, that's pretty much the facts.
And there's so many other... I'm not a theologian by any stretch of the imagination, but if you study it, you'll hear so many other truths that if you just study the history that confirms that. But the fact of the matter, it's a blessing that somebody saw fit to celebrate, because you got to realize that the only thing that was being honored by the Christians in that time was his resurrection.
That's remember correct.
Pentecost?
That's correct. Yes.
You remember the Pentecost and Easter? Yeah. Well, not Easter, but resurrection.
Yes, correct.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. So he said, why not celebrate his birth? That's where it all began. It was prophecy actually being fulfilled. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book to fulfill the, you know, to do the work or to fulfill correct. the um, the work of my father.
That's right. That's
and so that, it was such a blessing for him to come. So it goes back to why should Christians worship, why should Christians celebrate Christmas? It's not the actual event that we should celebrate. It's the why we should celebrate.
That's right.
Is
that's
that
right?
You know what? I hope that's clear.
You know what, Elder? You know what? I feel like it doesn't matter when he was born. We just know he was born into the world.
Exactly.
So the day really doesn't matter, because we know that our Savior came into this world through the Virgin Mary.
That's right.
And we know that's a fact. I believe sometimes we get caught up. We get caught up too much, and we want to know why. When,
yes.
Where. And
a lot and of, for what?
And a lot of times they get us confused. It gets us asking questions and even doubt. Yeah. You know, doubt God's word, doubt the Bible, because we always try to figure things out in our heads and stuff. So we got to be careful with that. For me, I feel like that's why we have to get in the word. You have to study, because that's the only way you're going to know what's true, what God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
That's right. That's right. And I was talking to my uncle, and he was saying that, and he made it so clear, and this is actually my conviction, because I'm not too big on holidays. Not too big on it. That's my personal thing. It's almost like, let's say this. Anybody know my wife is Chandra Williams? She noticed that I do celebrate our anniversary, because that's a special time. We've been married for 23 years. Mm-hmm. I do celebrate her birthday. I do it because I live in this society, and I do honor my wife. I know that's some things that you expect to do for special days. But why not celebrate her with the same energy every day? Why not? I know we pick special times.
I see what you're saying now.
But is she any less important on the day she was born than the day that I'm on, than on a June? She was, of course, so she was born in December. On a June day, an August day. And I see that trend, because I'm a minister of music. I see that trend in church all the time, where we are more adamant to be spiritual minded on a Sunday.
That's right. That's
than
true.
We are on a Monday. We are very traditional people.
Yes.
To the point that the world see us as fake. They see us as phony. Because they see us one way here and one way there. Christmas should be honored every day. It's almost like communion. He said, you don't have to wait to the first Sunday, second Sunday, the third Sunday. Yes, we should celebrate, have the celebration. But he said, do this as often. As often. You know, it doesn't bother me. The holy days and all that doesn't really... It doesn't bother me, but it does bother me when it flips your character. It's not the same energy. Like, for example, we've been arguing all week long, right? And now, just because it's your birthday,
got you.
Now I'm going to all of a sudden be sweet and nice.
I understand. Yes, I know what you mean.
Where is the realness? Where is the genuineness?
Yes.
Where is the true love?
Yeah.
The Lord said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love the Lord. And then said, and another commandment I give you, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Not just on Christmas. Not just on the Resurrection Sunday. But this should be a lifestyle. You understand?
Yes, because I understand what you mean. Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of churches,
yes,
and people, we want to show charity on Christmas, on holidays. But what about throughout the year?
That's it's not point. Genuine. It's not genuine. And the commercialism that people, and so many people are getting rich from, everybody's getting glory but God.
But God. That's right. That's right.
You know, I'm talking about the ratio, the magnitude. You know, yes, we're giving him a hand wave, but are we giving him our life? He wants more than a, it's almost like me inviting you to my birthday party. Everybody come to my birthday party, right? And somebody else come and they're the one that's getting all the presents.
Yes, that's right. That's a good.
What is Jesus getting out of this deal? He really didn't even ask for the celebration. He just said, I just want you to give me, worship me. He said, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Because for the Lord, you mean the Lord got to seek to find the true worshiper. He got to look around
so,
after what he's done.
So you know, I understand what you're saying. So the best way to remember what God has done for us, how he came to the world and died for us so we could live again, is by living for him.
Is living for him. That's the best him. Way. Oh my God. You are a gift to him when you serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And it's very important. But we also, if you look around, many people are depressed on that day when we should be the happiest because they don't have money enough to give that. They're stressed out. Yeah. That, how many people have you heard say, I can't wait until Christmas is over?
Yes, that's true.
It's the devil that have deceived us that's and true. Took the yeah. joy yeah. out of the yes. out of the real meaning of it.
Meaning.
Anytime yes. you are stressed about something yes. that's supposed to bring you life, yeah. there is something wrong with that picture.
And going debt and stuff, yes, you're right.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. And all through the years, you have to really, I got overwhelmed studying it. I hope I'm not boring you, but I got overwhelmed studying all the different takes and all the twists and turns from Santa Claus to
And they even twisted that.
Exactly. I didn't even get into it that way, but it's now they got our children lying to our children. Having them, and it's making, driving them further away from God.
That's right.
And then it's teaching them to watch this, like the law, to do good to receive. Instead of but the law of grace say, do good so that you may give.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, you hit something there.
I'm going to do good so that Santa would, I'm just going to do good. And I'm doing good to receive because he ain't going to love me unless I'm doing good. That's not the message of Jesus Christ. He said, come as you are.
That's right. Come as you are. That's right. Yeah.
He's not, right. Watch this. He's not taking count of all the things that you've done wrong.
That's all right.
You better watch out. You better not shout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why Santa calls. He knows when you... Listen, have these children growing up in terror?
That's right. That's right.
It's a lie.
That's right.
And anything that's not biblical based, you got to realize that the enemy can come in and seep in. And what is it training our children? Is it training our children to be godly? Or is it training them to be religious?
That's right. That's right.
Clean clothes. In Isaiah, let's go to it. I'm going to show you something. I thought about this scripture. Isaiah, the first chapter. I'm going to go to it right quick. When he was pretty much, he was really, Isaiah was, God was pretty much tired of the way that the Jews were coming to him. He said, we pretty much mastered going to church. You pretty much mastered the law. But he said, hear me, ye, you heavens. The first, I'm sorry. Let's start at Isaiah, the first chapter, first verse. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear me. This is the NIV. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master. The donkey is its owner's manger. But Israel does not, watch this, Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a broad of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and was pretty much rejected, and turned their backs on him. Why should ye be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds of whelps and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burn with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste at when overthrown by strangers. Daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like in a hut in a cucumber field, like in a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty have left some survivors, we should have become like Sodom. He would have been like Gomorrah. Watch this. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our Lord, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude, watch this. This is where he talked about the heart and the mind of the people in the beginning. And he said, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough of burnt offerings. See, your church services, your celebrations of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my court? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, convocations, I cannot bear you, your worthless assemblies, your new moon feast and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead to the case of the widow. But this is the last part. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. See, watch this. He said, come, let us reason together. I know you've been coming to church. I know you've been doing a lot of the things that I told you to do, but it has nothing to do with the heart.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And when we think about Christmas, what is your heart doing? Is your heart geared toward man, or is it geared toward the one that we should be celebrating when it comes to Jesus Christ?
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. All right, Elder, why do we get gifts on Christmas?
For one reason, It's amazing. I'm glad that I get gifts on Jesus' birthday.
Aren't we all?
Even though we, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and speak against it, but I'm not going to say that it's 100% accurate. When the wise men, you remember that? They gave gifts, and then they gave gifts. We used that as a, I would like to say, a reason why we receive gifts, because they gave gifts to Jesus, and we are his children. So I guess we can receive gifts too. But another thing is that when King Constantine, it was also a time for families to share. And we shared. And then as time went on, commercialism took over. And like in the early 1600s on up, and businesses found reasons to make market out of the community. But you know, gift giving is good, but once again, should it happen just one time of the year, or should it happen often? That's something that should always happen.
Alamite, we were talking earlier, and you said something that blew my mind about the wise men, the gifts that he gave.
Oh, yeah.
How they were preparing Jesus for. Hit that. Yes. Please hit on that.
Oh, yes. That. Even when they brought in frankincense and myrrh, they was confirming that this Son of God would be the sacrificial lamb. At his birth, I thought it was just when the lady of the world came and it was anointed, and Judas got mad. You remember that? He put all the precious oil.
Yes, you're right.
But at his birth, he was already anointed. And he was born in Bethlehem where they had lambs, where they was known. Bethlehem was known where they bred the little lambs before the slaughter for the sacrifices.
Oh, I never knew that.
In Bethlehem. Yes. Wow. Yes. That's where it's so much symbolism in his birth, until you can't deny that this was not the Christ, the Son of the living God. The lamb that come to take away the sins of the world. The lamb was born where lambs were bred.
So normal lambs were born there just to be bred for sacrifice.
Yes.
So Christ came along, was born there. He was a lamb to be sacrificed.
That's
later
right.
On.
And not many months later, he was born in a time in the spring, but just before the summer, that's when the they have the Passover.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
yes. It was the Feast of Tabernacles and all that. Yeah. It was everything. When God does something, He has a purpose, and he has a purpose. You know what I'm saying? He said, "For God so loved For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Everything that God gives is for a purpose. That's why my wife would tell you, I don't like purposeless gifts. If I give you something, Colton, it has to be have a purpose.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
It's going to be from my heart.
I feel you.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it just because it's Christmas. I have to give you something. No. That's the blessing of giving. When you give something, that's the fulfillment of giving. When he gave his life, he fulfilled the book. He was fulfilled in fulfilling the law for us. So we should be fulfilled in when we give and meet somebody else's need. It's just how God works. You can't give with a godly purpose and not leave with goosebumps running down your arms and your heart filled with joy, with your eyes watering up. Can I give you a short story? when I was in the, me and my sister, I was in the ninth grade. My sister was in the eighth grade. We was living in Greenville, North Carolina. I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible. We was living in Greenville, North Carolina. My dad had a new management job as United Insurance Company of America. And he he was just getting the company off the ground. He would have some good months and some bad months. And in sales, when you have a good month and you're just getting off the ground, you need to put some money away. Listen to me, guys. Put some money away when you're in sales, because you got to, you have to save for the lean months, because sometimes business goes up and down. So he said, he warned us. He said, you're not going to have a Christmas like you normally have it. Me and Melanie was like, okay, they always say that. And we end up getting what we want, so we was happy. Anyway, but that Christmas came, and all I got was some gray sweatpants, a backgammon game, and a Bible. And I forgot what my sister got. She, neither one of us got what we asked for. We should have been grateful. If I... And saying that, some of y'all are out there saying, oh, sweatpants, backgammon, and a bike. Oh, y'all would have been so grateful. Well, not me. I acted just like a heathen. I was mad. I was a spoiled brat. Me and my little sister looked at each other, was fussing it. You know, of course, not in front of them. That's a knockout. We didn't get timeout. We got knocked out. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Switches.
Yes. And then, or we probably wouldn't have gotten another Christmas ever. So you're going to be ungrateful, huh? But we looked at each other, and we looked at each other with disgust, saying, oh, we are acting so, we stunk so bad we smelt at ourselves. We was like, oh, we stink. And as, I don't know whether I was in the ninth or the 10th grade, because the next year I got a job. And I was driving by then. So I was 15. I think I was in the 10th grade going to the 11th. Okay. I've got to get the story right. But I got a job, and I told him, and we remember how ugly we acted. We said, okay, we didn't know what Dad was going to do this next Christmas. We didn't even want to know. I worked and made extra money. She was too young to work. I gave her money. I had just got my license. We went out and, oh, God, hallelujah. We went out and we bought, I mean, furniture, all kinds of, they had, my parents had the best Christmas ever. We had it laid out for them. They couldn't believe we did. I spent most of my check just to bless them, because I remember how nasty I acted. But when they saw what they received on that Christmas, to see the look on my parents' face and to see the joy that came in their heart, I mean, they bought us some real, I think I got a keyboard that, I almost forgot what I received that Christmas. I got some nice gifts, but it didn't even matter what I received, because I was so happy for them. And that's when I learned the joy of giving.
You know what, Elder, you just listen, you remind me of something a little bit similar. I remember, I don't know how young I was, my uncle gave me $20 for Christmas, but I didn't want to spend $20 on me. I just wanted to get my parents something.
Yes.
You know, that was all on my parents something. And I remember me and my brother, we went to Service Merchandise at the time. For those of us that can remember, Service Merchandise and stuff. And we bought them just like this plate set, like a tray where you can just carry them in the bed for they can just eat and stuff. And anyway, we bought that. And my uncle, he asked me, he said, what did you do with your 20? I said, I bought my nose on plates and stuff. And he cussed me out.
Wow.
He cussed me out, literally. He cussed me out. I'm El Jean. But I remember, you know, I remember, I knew what I said. It was only God or whatever, the touching stuff in there. Because of my heart was in giving, not receiving, just giving. And I just told my parents, you know, I was young, you know what, probably, I don't know how young I was. They ain't had no job, whatever. I mean, that whole room would just fill with gifts for me. Nothing, I didn't even ask for them.
Wow.
Didn't even ask for just gifts, little gifts. I mean, the whole gift. And I knew from a young age, I say I knew it was God Hallelujah. Because where my heart was. I always knew that.
So I guess the whole sense, the spirit of Christmas is really wrapped up in the spirit of Christ, which is a giving spirit.
Yes, giving.
You know, and you don't have, and you do not have to go in debt, though.
That's you right.
Give from your heart. Have any of you ever thought of give to your ministry, not just financially, your time, your gift, your service, give to the community, give all the love that you can give.
But as we as God people, we have to become serious about salvation. That's why we might choose December the 25th to remember Christ's birth. Even though the early church didn't celebrate it, there's nothing in scriptures mentioned about celebrating his birth. But it's not wrong. That's good. We should always remember the birth. But we should do that every day.
That we should do it every day.
That's right.
That's the point that I am a minister of music, and I've been a minister of music for years, but I've been in the church ever since I come into this world, and I've seen the passion to worship God diminish amongst what I would like to say God's people. I see Second Timothy or First Timothy said in the third chapter, say perilous times. I've seen the change. I've seen how cold we are to just one another. I get the cold shoulder. I don't know how many times I've gotten the cold shoulder because I come on too strong to people because I'm actually happy to see them, and it has hurt me. You know, throughout the years, because people are like, why is he so happy? Why is he smiling so hard? That was something that's placed inside me. That's something to truly, genuinely.
Yeah.
Doesn't that come with loving Jesus?
Yeah.
I genuinely, I'm about to get happy in here. I genuinely love people because not no goodness of my own cause. And it's because he saved me. He saved me from a black heart. I could be evil. When I wanted to hate, I can't.
Amen. I know that.
Because God saved me from hell. And I thank God for that. And I'm gracious. And I thank God for his people. But he puts love. So the purity of worship is what I'm asking God to do, especially in this season. If you're listening, I want you to examine yourself and say that, am I really giving God 100? You know, he can't use your presence. He can't use your money. He can't use that, but he can use your worship. Because he's not going to praise himself. He's not going to praise himself. That's one gift that you can give him. And I'm not talking about praise him in your heart. I'm talking about with your hands, your feet. You are an instrument of righteousness. I'm talking about everywhere you go. I'm not talking about being an undercover worshiper. I didn't say go preaching to everybody unless God calling you to. I'm saying, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Light was made to be seen.
That's right.
You can't hide that light under a bushel.
That's right. That's right.
So stop hiding behind that. Oh, nobody needs to know. Yes, they do. He said, if you are ashamed of me in the public, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father.
Yes, he did. Yes.
And we have too many undercover Christians. People need to know whether you're standing for Jesus or Santa Claus.
That is true. Amen. Amen. That is true. Sir, a lot of us are being deceived because we are not studying. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes, you were right. You're right, Carlton. You said 2 Timothy 10:1 said, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent and bold toward you. He said, but I beseech you that I may not be bold. That's not what I want. I want to go to the fourth verse. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, when we talk about Santa giving and giving him credit, that's a vain. That's an imagination.
That's right. That's correct. Yep. That's right.
And we're teaching our children that it's Santa that's blessing you versus the God that gives every good gift come from the Lord.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
There's a problem in our society, and we're raising our children that know not God.
Yes, we are.
So we're prolonging and deepening the issues of mental health, of you name it, in our communities, in our societies, in our families. I have enough problems to deal with other than to add to it by teaching my children lies. Okay, that's pretty much all I want to say.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you would like to send a request for any subjects that you would like us to teach about, you can reach us at christianlifepodcast@yahoo.com. And once again, the email is christianlifepodcast@yahoo.com. Until next time. When I need company, someone just to sit with me.